Everybody's here for our little Saturday night get-together. But just in case you're not, we'll leave the gate open for any latecomers. Because I know when they see that Melody Ranch sign, they'll hurry on as fast as they can. And folks, when you see that double mint display at your friendly local merchant, I hope you get yourself a couple of packages of that refreshing, delicious double mint chewing gum, too. You know, one thing's sure. I can promise you a lot of pleasure and satisfaction chewing that grand double mint gum. You see, I know because that smooth, pleasant chewing is one of my favorite pastimes. And that swell, long-lasting double mint flavor is a mighty fine taste treat. So enjoy it often every day. That's refreshing, delicious double mint chewing gum. Just an echo in the valley, and it brings back sweet memories from you. Can't you hear it through the twilight when it answers, I love you? How I wish we were here, just like we used to be. For since you have gone, there's nothing left for me. Just an echo in the valley. Caruso. Now hold it. Just stay quiet.
What's the matter?
Well, that's what I want to know. Why the sudden outburst of song?
Oh, that. Well, to tell the truth, old pal, I was just kind of recalling the days when I was a bullfighter down in Mexico way.
You? A bullfighter?
That's what I said. As a matter of fact, I was a picador.
You don't say.
I do say. Why, whenever I walked out into the arena, they turned the bull loose, the people would all scream and shout, "Picador! Picador!"
And something hit you like it did Buttram.
Yes.
So what did you do?
Just what they said to do. I picked the door and got the heck out of it.
Brother, that's the end. That's it.
But hey, I'll never forget one day, though.
Uh-huh.
The happiest day of my life, in fact.
What was that?
The bull saw red and charged as hard and as fast as he could go. Churning, biting, snarling. And the more he saw red, the madder he got.
I can understand that. I get mad when I see red, too. But, Johnny, why should that make you so happy?
Red was my brother.
I figured as much. Look, suppose we just forget about that Bond, the bullfighter.
Okay, good. It's all right with me. Instead, let's talk about Bond, the lover.
You a lover?
Yes. Some of them sweet little senoritas I used to know down there.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I was quite a real Casanova king.
Yeah, I can see by looking at you. I'll bet you were at that.
Was I? Well, I remember one night I was serenading a lovely little senorita under her balcony.
Mm. What?
I can just hear me now. Mm. Juanita, Juanita, lovely Juanita.
What happened?
Nothing. Her name was Susie. Go on, sweetheart.
Well, so long, Susie. And now, folks, here the Fast County Boy singing. Toot, 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 sometimes else. Folks, even when it comes to a thing like refreshment, I make mine Western style. What's more, I'm sure that I have a lot of company because every real cowhand is a great gum chewer. Now, I don't know how or when it started. Maybe some cowpoke just noticed how good that smooth, pleasant chewing goes along with the rhythm of riding. But however it began, chewing refreshing, delicious doublemint gum sure is the Western thing to do. In fact, chewing delicious doublemint gum goes so swell with our busy life that I figured it ought to go the same way for your active boys and girls, too. So I hope that all of you young friends of mine will enjoy my favorite Western-style treat often every day. That's refreshing, delicious double mint chewing gum.
I could never win with you. Let me cry on your shoulder for a dream that turned out wrong. I know that I've been someone just filling in until your real love along. Let me cry on your shoulder. It's the least that you can do. I gave you my heart, though I knew from the start I could never win with you. Let me cry on your shoulder for a dream that turned out wrong. I know that I've been someone just coming in until your real love came along.
Thank you very, very much, folks, and thanks a lot.
Now, Gene, Gene.
Yeah?
Here's a letter that one of the boys just brought in from town for you.
Who's it from, Johnny?
Well, it's a, you want me to open it up for you?
Why, sure, go ahead.
I'll look on the back here and see who it's, oh, it's from M. Carter, whoever that is.
Oh, that must be Mike Carter.
Well, go ahead. Ain't you going to open it up and see what's inside?
No, no. No need for that. I already know.
What do you mean you already know?
Well, if you'll be quiet a second, I'll tell you.
Okay, Mr. Wise Guy. Go ahead.
Well, Johnny, I guess the story behind what's in that envelope all began on a Monday morning not too long ago. Back in Sheriff Jim Dillon's office. Any way I remember, as I walked in, he was sitting there with a very confused look on his face. He nodded for me to sit down and then finally said,
Gene, the reason I asked you to stop by here is that, well, I've got a slight problem. Yet so far, I haven't been able to come up with a single right answer.
Well, I've had days like that myself, Jim. What seems to be the trouble?
5 robberies in just as many nights, Gene. And all of them, as far as I can determine, pulled by the same guy.
Oh? What makes you say that?
Well, now I'll show you, Gene. You see this map here?
Yeah. Looks like Center Street.
It is Center Street, with every store shown and identified. Stacy's Drugstore, Wilson's Five and Dime, and so on down the street. Now, here's what I'm driving at. Every one of these 5 robberies to date have been nuisance stuff. You know, just petty cash, cheap novelty stuff, trinkets, and like that.
Go on.
Well, now I've circled in red the 5 stores held up so far. Now, here's my hunch, Gene. Working on the patterns of the crime up to now, there's only one logical place for the next robbery.
You mean Allen's Variety Store?
Exactly. All the other places are either too big or too tough to crack.
So what do you got in mind?
Well, just this. If it's okay with you, Gene, we're going to hide out in the back room of Allen's shop tonight. That way, if this guy is working true to form, we can nab him. Does it make any sense?
Up to now, it does. Let's wait and see what happens tonight.
It looks like I guessed wrong, don't it?
Maybe you got Wes we're on his trail, Jim.
I doubt it, Gene.
Oh, wait a minute. Quiet.
What's the matter?
I thought I heard something. Listen.
Yeah, that must be him now. You got your gun ready?
All set.
Good. Now, we'll wait till he gets inside. Then you get the lights, and I'll take care of him.
Right.
Now, Gene. Okay, Mr. Reacher.
Get your hands.
Hey, look.
I'll be doggone. It's only a kid.
I'm 14. Keep your dirty hands off
me. Now, wait just a minute, youngster.
I said, keep your hands off of me.
What's your name, son?
None of your business.
Okay. Where do you live, then?
That ain't none of your business, neither.
It's a cinch you don't live around here, Gene. At least I've never seen you before.
They tell me, son, do your mother and dad know you're pulling this kind of stuff?
I ain't got no mother and dad. I ain't got nobody. Now, why don't you leave me alone? You caught me, so lock me up.
Okay, kid, if that's the way you want it, that's the way it's going to be. Come on with me.
So, Johnny, I headed back to the ranch and started to go to bed, but I never made it. Somehow, I couldn't stop thinking about that kid and wondering how he ever got into a mess like that. Matter of fact, I was still thinking about it when the sun came up the next morning. So I saddled up Champion and rode into town.
Yeah, who is it? Oh, hi, Gene. Come on in. Come in.
Thanks.
Well, what's on your mind, Gene?
Just this, Jim. I want you to release that kid in my custody.
What? Are you crazy?
Maybe. But I don't think so.
Gene, that kid's bad through and through.
No kid's bad through and through, Jim. That's why I'm asking you to give that kid a chance. I'll assume all responsibility.
You do that?
Well, I'd like to try. What about it?
You know, you amaze me. What possible good you can see in that kid, I don't know. But one thing I do know, Gene. If you're willing to give your time and effort to try and make something of him, I'm certainly not going to stand in your way.
Then you approve?
I not only approve, I'll give you a medal if it works.
And so, Johnny, my little experiment began. I did all I could to make Mike feel at home. Gave him his own room, paid him a salary, even gave him a few small responsibilities. But it didn't work. After 2 weeks, he was still the same tough, independent kid with a chip on his shoulder as big as a house. Nice night, isn't it?
Yeah.
Look, Mike, I gave you a break once. Don't you think I deserve the same thing?
Okay, so you gave me a break. You kept me out of reform school. But that don't mean I have to like it here, does it?
But you haven't even tried.
I do my job.
Sure you do, Mike. But don't you see, that's not the point. I want you to feel that this is more than just a place to work.
Look, if I want a sermon, I'll go to church.
I'm not trying to preach any sermon, Mike. All I'm saying is that you were headed the wrong way before. At least give my way a chance. You owe me and yourself that much of a break.
Okay, what do you want me to do?
Well, for one thing, get out of that shell that you're shut up in. And most of all, get that chip off your shoulder. Because, whether you know it or not, nobody wants to fight with you.
Maybe you're right.
Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. All I ask is that you try it. Now, what do you say?
Okay, it's a deal.
Shake?
Shake.
Well, Johnny, from then on, the change in Mike was amazing. In fact, he was almost like an entirely new and different kid. So about a month later, I decided it was time for the final test. I had $50 to be deposited at the bank one day, so I called Mike in and asked him if he'd mind taking it into town for me. Well, sir, from the way he looked at me, I guess he thought I was crazy, and maybe it was. But I had to find out. If he was going to leave, that $50 would take him a long, long way. Finally, without batting an eye, he took it, and I set back to wait. It was then 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The trip into town would take, half hour at the most. But when dinner time came, well, he still wasn't happy. I began to think that maybe the sheriff was right. Mike was just laying bad all the way through. Anyway, I guess it was about midnight when I finally turned into bed. Didn't sleep, though. I still wasn't giving up. And then, I don't remember what time it was, but I thought I heard a noise downstairs. Quietly, I put on a robe and headed for the front room. It was Mike.
I guess you thought I wasn't coming back, didn't you?
No. On the contrary, Mike. I was pretty sure you would, sooner or later.
I ran out on you. I don't know why I did it. But when I got to town with that money, something happened inside me. So I bought a train ticket and headed for Capital City.
Oh? Why'd you come back?
I don't know why I came back. I just got off the train at Silver Springs and walked back.
That's sorry cool. You did?
No. No, I'm just sorry for all the trouble I've caused you.
Oh, you haven't caused me any trouble, Mike. You know, I'm proud of you.
Then you mean you're not sore at me? Even if I spend part of your money for a railroad ticket?
Oh, forget that, son. That's the best investment I ever made.
Gosh, thanks, Mr. Autry. I feel a lot better now.
Of course you do. Look, tell me, Mike. Did you ever hear of a man named Kipling?
No. Why?
Well, because, son, he wrote a wonderful poem once about a kid just like you. I don't remember all of it, but it seems to me that it went something like this. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired of waiting or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good or talk too wise, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by men to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you give your life to broken, and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foe nor loving friend can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And what's more, you'll be a man, my son. Well, Jonathan, my boy, that's the story. How'd you like it?
Boy, that was mighty fine, Gene. But hey, what about this letter? You said you knew what was in it.
I do.
Okay, what?
A canceled railroad ticket and $2.50. Open it up and you'll see I'm right.
Now, look, Gene, if you think for 1 minute that I'm going... Well, I'll be. $2.50, just like you said.
Here's a song written by a man who, for the most part, spends his time in the big cities. Yet he somehow captured the way a cowboy feels about this part of the country, as well as, if not better, than most of the guys who spend their entire life on the range. See, if you don't agree, as the boys and girls join me in singing Cole Porter's great Western classic,
Let Me Roam the Wild.
Give me land, lots of moon under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, oh, don't fence me in. Just turn me in. Let me saddle my old saddle underneath the western sky. On my ties, let me wander
where the west commences. Gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. Can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't let me in. At hobbles and I can't stand the fences.
Sure says everything there is to say about a cowhand's philosophy. Oh, you're right, that's right. The words "don't fit me in" sums it up all right. Yet so a cowhand does like to go along in his own way, free as a bird. But that doesn't mean that he's not a sociable guy. You know, he likes people. He likes his kind. In fact, Ben, I can almost always make my own good time by chewing refreshing, delicious double-mint chewing gum. You see, that pleasant, satisfying chewing and that grand double-mint flavor can add a lot of extra enjoyment to just about anything you're doing. So why don't you try it and see? That's refreshing, delicious double-mint chewing gum. Costs so little, tastes so good, lasts so long. Good friends, looks like our little visit here in the Windy City of Chicago is drawing to a close. But just as always, me and the whole Mountain Ranch gang will be holding open house next week at the same time and over these same CBS stations from New York City. Try and drop in, won't you? In the meantime, this is Gene Hunter for Double Mint Chewing Gum, asking you to keep thanking others.
WBBM Chicago.